Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Our broadcast today is entitled Growing in Forgiveness. As you know, here on Words of Grace, over the past 2 weeks, we shared with you a message from the pulpit of Flint River on the subject of forgiveness in an eternal sense. This was actually one of three messages that we delivered on the subject of forgiveness. Message one, forgiveness in an eternal sense, considered the great eternal forgiveness that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins have been taken away from us through the work of Christ, and how the assurance of that, as Jesus said to the weeping woman of the city, "Thy sins be forgiven," is such a sweet thing for us to hear and to experience on the level of our soul. Message two of that series, that's available at our church Facebook page, focused on forgiveness more in a parental or an experiential sense. In other words, each and every day, we pray to God to forgive us of our sins, and as we ask His forgiveness, He forgives us. He's not as harsh on us in His chastening as He would be if we were obstinate. And a great example of that is David after he sinned with Bathsheba in Psalm 51. He begs God to forgive him and cleanse him and restore unto him the joy of his salvation. The final message in that series was one entitled Forgiving One Another, and we'll play a portion of that message for you on the broadcast today. In this message, we speak about the importance of forgiving one another. So many times, forgiveness in an experiential sense or an experimental sense is tied to how we forgive one another. In other words, if I'm a very harsh person, then God will be more harsh with me. If I'm a very forgiving person, then God will not be as harsh to me as He would be otherwise. Therefore, Christians ought to be the most forgiving people in the world. Rather than being judgy people or pharisaical people, bitter people, people who are glad to be angry at others and critical of others, unhappy about everything in life. We should be more anxious to forgive as Christians than we are to hold a grudge. Naturally, that's not the way that we are. We are far more inclined to hold a grudge than we are to forgive, but Christ exhorts us, rather than being judges, to be forgiving. Rather than to be bitter or hold a grudge, we are to forgive our brothers and sisters when they sin against us. Now, of course, there are times in the world, as we'll discuss on the broadcast today, when the offense is legitimate and it's grievous. And in those cases, Christ gives us a recipe for working out problems. But by and large, the child of God is simply to be a patient, long-suffering, forgiving person. Now, hearing that, you might think, I need to grow in that trait. Well, today's broadcast is going to focus on that. In fact, we'll share with you five different points that speak to the issue of growing in forgiveness. As convicting of a thought as that might be, I pray that as we hear this, that we will be instructed and encouraged, equipped to be the forgiving people that God calls on us to be. Here is today's message, Growing in Forgiveness.
Let's turn to the book of Matthew 18, and there are five basic principles that I want to give to you, four of them from this passage and one from a final passage today, as we consider growing in forgiveness. Growing in forgiveness. Now, if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you here would like to grow, or how many of you here need to grow in forgiveness? Many of you would raise your hands, and the rest of you would be lying. Because we all need to grow in forgiveness. That's what growing in grace is all about. Becoming more and more like Christ. You can't be more like Christ than when you're being forgiving, because Christ literally came to suffer for people that he loved who had forsaken him. When we were enemies in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And so to be Christ-like is to be forgiving. To be forgiving is to be Christ-like. We need to grow in forgiveness. Now, before going into this, there's a short point that I want to give you from verse 7 of Matthew 18. Notice this with me. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Now, if there was one sentence from Scripture, and there are many, to summarize the past 2 years now, it is woe unto the world because of offenses. Do we not live in a hyper-offended time? Everyone is offended at everything at all times. We're just offended. We're so offended. We're happy to be offended. We're offended if we're not offended. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Offenses are everywhere. In fact, notice the next statement. For it must needs be that offenses come. What does that mean? That there's divine orchestration in offenses? No. That's an idiom that means offenses are inevitable. Now, why are offenses inevitable in this world? Because every single human being in the world is a sinner, prone to offend, and prone to be offended. I made the comment last week that if you think you can escape sin by being a hermit, and you travel into the furthest depths of the last American wilderness, go down to the Amazon and live in the rainforest, surrounded by nothing but nature, sin is still there. Because you are still there. It must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Now, just because offending people and being offended is inevitable doesn't mean that it's okay. Woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. It's better, Jesus says in this chapter, to have a millstone hung about your neck and cast into the depth of the sea than to offend one of his little ones. That's how serious this is. That ought to terrify us. That's why he said it. Do you like the idea of having a millstone hung around your neck and dropped into the Mediterranean? That doesn't sound very pleasant to me. That's better than what God can do if we go around offending his children, being mean to them. That ought to scare us. Offenses are inevitable, but beware. Now, how do we grow in forgiveness? Because today's message is not about offenses, but about forgiveness. Number one, from Matthew chapter 18, be like a child. Matthew 18, 1, the same time the disciples came into Jesus, they asked him a question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They asked this over and over. Preachers still compete over this role today. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, Jesus has answered this question before, and he says to be greatest, you must humble yourself to be the least. If you humble yourself the most, then you're greatest in the kingdom. Now, by the way, there was never anyone in the history of the world that humbled themselves more than Jesus. And so the position of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is not vacated. Someone's already there, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself the most. He became least. And so he is greatest in the kingdom. And if we want to be great, we need to act like him. But when they asked this question, and I'll tell you what, this was something that they debated. They debated it multiple times at communion, right after the communion service. They're arguing about it when Jesus begins to wash their feet. Why do you think he did that? To show that they needed to serve one another rather than lord over one another. As they asked that question, Jesus called a little child unto him and set the little child, him, so we know it's a little boy, in the midst of them. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and this is a plural, you and ye, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now he's talking to men to whom he has been revealed from the Father. And again, just remember that conversion is something that can happen. A conversion experience over and over in your life. Regeneration happens once. He tells Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Right before the crucifixion, but in Matthew 16, he says, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed it himself to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter was born again already at this moment. And yet he tells them, except you be as little children, converted as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom. You know, I was thinking about this point this past week. Those of you with young children know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that little kids fight, right? But you know, little kids, they get into fights. But have you ever seen a little kid go up to play with another little kid, maybe 8 years old? I don't know, pick an age. I'm not playing with you because when we were six, you did X, Y, Z. Have you ever known a little kid to hold a grudge for something 2 years before? No. They just let it go. They may bust each other's noses. And then 10 minutes later, they're playing again. They may bust each other's noses again before the end of the day. But the next morning, they're fine. That's the point. It's not that children are somehow holy or lacking impurities. No, we're conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. The point, though, is children are so quick to forgive. They're so quick to forgive. That is what Jesus is conveying to us. If you want to foster forgiveness and grow in it, number one, be like a child. Paul would say to the Corinthians, in understanding be men, but in malice be ye children. When it comes to being malicious, be a child. When it comes to understanding of Bible principles, be a man. Number two, learn the biblical way to handle offenses if, and this is a huge if a person is offended because of an actual trespass. Where do we learn the biblical method of handling offenses? Well, here in Matthew chapter 18. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, the word trespass translates from the same word that translates sin 38 times in the New Testament. And so a trespass is a sin. Trespass is legitimate. A trespass is authentic. Something real has occurred that was wrong, not only in your mind, but in the mind of God. And I will also add, unless you're willing and ready to go before the church and have one excluded from communion, Because that's what happens in church discipline. Excommunicated. Ex-communion. Then what we do is just forgive them and drop it. This is a real offense. This is a real offense. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I have found more times than not when there's an actual offense, that part never even gets rolling. There's never thee and him alone. Now, everybody in the world knows about it. You see the person in 1 Corinthians 5? Paul says, you should have dealt with it. Instead of dealing with it, what'd you do? You gloried in it. It's a scandal. It's a story. We can hear and tell some new thing. It's the latest gossip. If I'm offended because someone really did something, again, the word trespass translates from the same word as the word sin, then I go and I tell him his fault between me and him alone. It's just the two of us. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now, by the way, when it plays out, the witnesses may say, you know what, I think you're wrong. Okay, and you just get it arbitrated. You get it worked out. There are some problems in the world that people come and they want me to settle a dispute between them. And listen, there's a time when somebody came to Jesus and he's like, my father died and left my brother the inheritance and he won't share it with me. Make my brother share the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, what do I have to do with any of this? And this is God talking. Jesus said, what business of this is mine? You go work that out. Sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, grow up and stop. And the witnesses may say that, in which case, then, all right, it's over. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. If he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. To a Jew, calling someone a heathen was calling them an unbeliever. Because the heathens were non-Israelites. So in other words, you're to look at that man as if he's just an unbeliever, an outsider. A heathen man and a publican. And then he goes into the fact that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. That's telling us that God in heaven respects church discipline on earth. God has given the church authority to conduct her own discipline in each individual church body. Now, notice verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We hear that so many times applied to church. Well, we didn't have a big crowd, but where two or more are gathered. Now, if we had two people here today, I would be a depressed man. I would go home and probably sulk for 3 or 4 days. How do you know that? Because during the shutdown, that's about what we had, and that's what I did. Because I want there to be a big crowd on Sunday. If there were two or three, I'd be really sad. Jesus is not talking about small crowds at church. He's talking about working out trouble. Where two or three are there gathered trying to work out a dispute among brothers, there am I in the midst. If we come at it with the right attitude, Jesus is with us when we try to work out problems. That's an encouragement. It's an encouragement. Even if it involves amputating a gangrenous limb, because sometimes that has to happen. The words of Hymenaeus and Philetus, ate as a canker, that word translates from a Greek word that transliterates into English as gangrene. We can get gangrenous limbs and they must be amputated before the whole body is destroyed. That's when you know you really have a problem that needs to be dealt with, is when there's that sort of a problem, when it begins to destroy the body. The biblical way of handling offenses. You go alone. If it's a real offense, you go with two witnesses, and then you take it to the church. Number three, growing in forgiveness. We must understand the longevity of the issue. What do you mean by that? Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Peter hears this, and he comes to the Lord. And Peter always has some questions after the fact. So are you saying that I have to forgive people when they do things that are wrong? Peter comes to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? That's a good biblical number of completeness. Peter's like, you know, can I keep a tally? Seven times, is that good? But on that eighth time, I don't have to forgive him anymore? Jesus says, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven times. In other words, as many times as it happens. It's not, well, that eighth time, I'm going to let him have it. And Jesus isn't saying, you know, 70 times 7, you got 490, that on the 491st time, could you imagine the guy keeping the tally? We're up to 383. Boy, when we get to 491, I'm going to tear into you. If that's the case, you never forgave him anyway. You're still harboring unforgiveness. The point is that you just forgive him or her. You just forgive him. You forgive him infinitely. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35, point number 4. Growing in forgiveness is enabled as we keep in mind our own sinfulness. After Peter asks this, Jesus gives this parable, and I'm going to read it to you. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, that's an accounting term for tabulating, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents, according to Joel Beakey, I like the way that he worded this, was a, quote, astronomical sum of money unable to be repaid in many lifetimes. A talent equals 6,000 denarii or pence. A talent is 6,000 pence. A pence was a day's wage. So what is the math on that? 60 million days wages? How are you going to pay that off? How are you going to pay that off? You're talking about 140,000 lifetimes. You can't pay it off. That's what this man owes his master. This man is brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. This is a very rich master, wasn't it? For as much as he had not to pay, obviously, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. There's no way he could pay him back. His life wouldn't pay back a fraction of it. He could work all of his life and never pay him back. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, remember that a pence is a day's wage for a laborer. And by the way, this tells you that servant in the Bible doesn't always mean slave in the sense that we take it to understand today, because this man was a servant of a master, and yet at the same time you've got wages involved. And selling him and his family and his children into real slavery to pay the debt. To be a servant wasn't always, in fact, it wasn't many times what it looked like in the early United States. And might I just add, in the early United States, it was men stealing, which is condemned as a sin. We miss that coming at it from a 21st century American lens. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's about 4 months' income. 4 months' income. Still a lot of money, but nowhere near something that couldn't be paid back, nowhere near what this man owed. Laid hands on him, took him by the throat, and said, pay me all that thou owest. The fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. This offended the other people around them. Obviously, you would be offended. A soft-hearted person would be offended. This is not right. This is an injustice in the world. Came and told their Lord what was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. The point of the parable, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. How important is this to the Lord? It's very important. We should forgive one another because we have been forgiven far more from God than we could ever forgive another human being in this world. Doesn't matter how bad one individual has treated us, God has forgiven us for more. And because of that, we ought to have the disposition to forgive. God has far more reason to be offended at us, and he has forgiven us, and so we should forgive one another. Lastly, point number 5, and this is our final point for today. What is it that we do in every sermon? We begin and we move eventually as quickly as we can to Christ. We want to be like a child. We want to learn how to apply the teaching of Jesus to deal with offenses. We want to understand the longevity of the issue, and we want to keep in mind our own sinfulness and God's forgiveness of us. But above all, we want to be like Christ. Philippians chapter 2. In talking to a church that had conflict in it, a church full of good people, but there was a dispute among some of the people there that needed to be worked out and deliver that church from division or even death. Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Look at verse 2. "Be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord." He tells him, "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Boy, if there's a principle that would help us right now in the world, it would be that one. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, this is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the second person of the Godhead, the eternal Word that was God, was with God, and was God, who made all things when they were made, from John 1. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Look at verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's not a lesson about eternity. The context is church trouble. Work out the deliverance, the saving from the division that you're facing, and even the potential death of the church through conflict, with fear and trembling. "It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing." I pray that we grow in forgiveness, above all, seeking to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.